Yes, we are back in your life. It is an episode of Inside Boxing Live, and it is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. It is powered by PPV.com, the worldwide leader in live pay-per-view events. Could we have another one this summer between Tank and Lamont Roach? We'll get into that on this episode, but go to PPV.com for all of your pay-per-view needs and desires. No subscriptions. Stream it to your phone, tablet, iPad, anything you need. PPV.com is there for you all the time, and they're there for us, and they're there for you as a listener, allowing us to do this program twice a week here. I'll be recording on Monday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Two Irish guys here. No. Two Italians. Chris Algieri, how are you?
I'm good. You know, they always got that saying, everyone's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. I was always vehemently against that. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm still Italian.
Bro. West Hampton Beach, where I grew up on Long Island, they would have a pretty fun parade every year. Mm-hmm. And in the height of my just thinking I was the coolest guy in the world, wore my Italian soccer jersey.
Bad idea.
To the parade.
Bad idea.
Not the firemen, the West Hampton Beach firemen, it's like their day. Man, shoving me. Almost got into like multiple fights. I was like, why? Just because I'm Italian and I'm proud.
I don't think people understand Long Island culture and that there's so many Irish and Italians just like in the same proximity all the time that it's pretty rough. It's two drinking fighting cultures right next to each other.
But that's like an obnoxious move by Dan. 21-year-old Dan wearing an Italian jersey. Very obnoxious. Looking for attention. All the above. Still, subscribe to those things.
You got some attention.
Yeah, from firemen. I got a few girls too. A few girls here and there. No big deal.
I actually forgot it was St. Patrick's Day because I wanted to have a Guinness with today's episode. But
Split the G.
What is that in Belfast? That's definitely a thing. So it's whenever you get a freshly poured pint of Guinness, you have to drink it down to where the Guinness word is, and you have to get it to the middle. Split the G, so you get 50-50. So it's like playing horseshoes. You're trying to get or bocce ball. You're trying to get it as close as possible. But if you go under or over, dude, you're lost and you're an amateur.
I saw a trend on one of the apps that girls are now drinking Guinness.
I mean, I've known plenty of women that have drank Guinness over the years, but
because it's not like you don't think of Guinness as like a woman's drink because it's so heavy.
No, it is, but it's also low in calorie and low in alcohol. I think it's a 4.2% alcohol. There's something 150 calories in a pint of Guinness, which is less than most lagers. Because the 12-ounce Heineken, I think, is 150, and then like a 16-ounce Guinness is like 150. So you get more Guinness for your calorie.
And there's your beer segment here. It's only a matter of time before we have a beer
sponsor. We need to get a beer sponsor, and then we can do a beer segment. Beer and boxing goes together brilliantly. Miller Lite is now sponsoring Top Rank.
I mean, yeah. Shout out to the Two Beers podcast, one of our friends in the biz. Let's get into it. We will start our episode with some news that broke on Sunday. According to reports, Gervonta Davis and Lamont Roach are planning a summer rematch, and it could come as early as June 21st in Las Vegas. What do you think about that, Mr. Algieri?
I love it. It's a fight that we were talking about. It's a must-need fight. It's a big fight now based on the first fight and the controversy that immediately followed the fight. So, yeah, hell yeah, let's go. And it's Vegas. I mean, it's our guy, Tank. It's Pro Box's guy, Lamont Roach, who's now my guy. So let's go.
Are you surprised as early as June 21st? I saw a report could be May 24th. The June 21st is shocking to me because that's April, May. That's like 3 months. Like we don't do that in boxing. Like rematches, 4 months, maybe 5 months. Like 6 months is usually like the protocol. That surprises me a little bit, knowing Tank Davis and his level of activity. Like I think Lamont Roach will go for June. I think he'll go for pretty much anything because this is found money for him and his profile is way up. Like the June 21st gives me a little bit of pause because it is Tank and I know his track record. I am a little shocked by that.
Yeah, I mean, he said, right, he's like, we can run it back. And he said as soon as May. Am I quoting him correctly?
He also said that in the heat of the moment, bro. Heat of the moment.
Of course. But I agree with you. The fact that, you know, June is right around the corner, it does give me a little bit of pause that it may not happen then. It may get pushed back to September. But even then, like, that's not that far away. I'm okay with it.
I want to see the odds too. Like, what are the odds on this fight? Like, Tank is going to be the favorite, of course, because he's Tank.
Of course.
This isn't.
Bro, he was like 16-1 before.
This isn't your. This is not going to be 15-1 this time. I'm very curious on the opening odds for this because Roach, had a perfect game plan and executed. And for what you want to say, I don't know if Gervonta had an off night or Roach took it away from him. We're going to see how it's reflected with those odds. We're going to see. For Gervonta Davis, this is a make or break moment in his career. He's 30 years old. He did not think he was going to have issues. He thought he was going to have a win. He was ready to call out the Jake Pauls and look for Shakur Stevenson and some of the other big names. This is super intriguing for a number of reasons, one of which, and then the main reason, is we're going to figure out who exactly Gervonta Davis is as a fighter.
I think it's actually a good thing for Gervonta. I mean, it's good for both men. Obviously, the obvious reasons why it's good for Roach, but I think it's actually good for Gervonta too, because he was running out of dance partners. He has taken the stance that he's not going to go over to Saudi. He's not going to join the Riyadh season, but all of his potential big name opponents have. So he was kind of left in the dark based on where he's deciding to draw that line in the sand. And then Lamont Roach, he gets flamed for picking a smaller guy, a 130-pounder coming up. Then the fight's really good and it's intriguing. And there's all this, speculation and conspiracy about what could have happened and controversy and whatnot. And now he's got like a bona fide good, like big fight created out of a guy that was a 16-1 underdog. So I think it's ultimately good for both guys. There was a reason that Gervonta was 16-1 underdog going into the first fight. Does Gervonta has the ability now to live up to what that expectation was and go out there and be like, hey, guess what? That first fight was a fluke. I am that guy. Or he's got a guy that he can have a rubber match with, essentially, that they can go on and have a series of fights and they're all going to make a bunch of money.
Rubber match would be really interesting. I'm not ready to think about a third because that would probably have Tank losing again, which I don't think is going to happen.
But I think if he wins this fight and it's competitive once again, there's going to be an argument that Roach is going to be like, well, I won the first fight. And okay, you got me in the second one. Now it's my turn to adjust to your adjustment. Let's go. Let's do a third fight.
Well, just knowing like how Tank's career is being moved right now and how this draw, quote unquote, messed up a lot of plans, it seemed like, when Gervonta tipped his hand afterwards. Like, there was that Jake Paul stuff is some serious stuff behind it.
In the boxing world, because...
Of course.
Not that he cares about getting flamed, because when he gets flamed, he comes with a ton of money. But I don't know, man. Now he has, like, a legitimate contender contender. The guy's a champion. He's a legitimate other champion in a different weight class that he can battle it out with.
No, this is great. This is great for PBC. This is great for boxing. This is great for casual fans, because this went well past, like, the boxing world. Like, first off, this fight was a really big success. You were in the arena that night. 20,000 packed in there. I don't know what the pay-per-view numbers are, because pay-per-view numbers are dwindling. We'll talk about that later on in the show with the UFC and
ESPN. But also, how real are pay-per-view numbers? I feel like we never really get the real number.
It's impossible to gauge that, so I won't even get there. But this fight was a success because it made money at the gate, and what it generated afterwards, man. I'm talking about like mainstream discussion, SportsCenter, the main Instagram accounts. It broke through to the casual fan. It broke through to pop culture talking about this fight because of the knee. It's Gervonta Davis. It has an underdog. It has all the elements. And not only that, Chris, like, I'm looking at our socials, and that's a pretty good way to gauge some stuff because it's actual numbers and metrics that you can look at. Socials were doing really well leading up to the fight, like the content that we do with the fighters and all that. Dude, from the Sunday on after that fight to like now, like skyrocketing. Like the number one piece of content that we did last week or on that fight week was not with Gervonta Davis. It was with Lamont Roach. 1 million views of Lamont Roach. Yeah, look at his Instagram numbers.
Lamont Roach has almost 200, just shy of 200,000 followers. I wish I knew what he had prior to the fight. What he had prior to the announcement of the fight.
No, yeah. It was a respectable number, but it's not that.
No, 195,000 is that's a real number.
And he does a lot of YouTube stuff that you see. He did a YouTube video where he did commentary on the fight.
Nice. Good for him.
And Gervonta apparently tried to bite him at one point, and he was going through he did the whole fight, and he sat there in a little box. And he told me when we were doing our interviews that he has a YouTube page, and I really want to get into I want to do a podcast. I want to do content, which is super smart. So he is benefiting from this. But the point being is like I think we have 1 million video, and it's with Lamont Roach. And I love that all the comments are like, I love this guy. I never knew much about him. Now I do. So his profile is raised. And to the larger point of you were just saying, this just fell right into this rematch. Like,
yeah,
PBC fell into it. It's a summer. They're looking for opponents for Tank. All his big fights are over in Saudi, and he's not there quite yet. This is huge. And I'm happy that if this reports are true, that Tank is taking the rematch, because he did say we're going to run it back right away after the fight.
Yeah.
But he also said it's not going to be next. He said, yeah, we'll have a rematch, but it's not going to be next. Because I think he was still had that Jake Paul.
I think he's still figuring out the Jake Paul thing. Yeah.
Which is just nuts in its own regard. But yeah, so like we got this rematch and then into the actual fight. And like, he's got to go in there and like, how is Gervonta Davis taking this? Is he going to be in there like, I'm going to take this guy out? Or is it going to be more of like status quo with Gervonta, where it starts slow and then he's going to find himself in another razor thin type of fight? Because Roach isn't, like we've shown, he's not going to go in there and just get taken out because Gervonta wants to, and that's the plan according to PBC and Gervonta's team. So well, I'm very curious at the game plan and if this fight will look any different.
Yeah, there was a distinct lack of control from the side of Gervonta Davis in that fight. He just couldn't domesticate Roach. Roach, his fundamentals were too good. His counterpunching was too good. Even his size, he looked bigger, so much bigger than Gervonta in there, even though he was the guy moving up. His power is respectable enough to get respect. He actually rocked Gervonta a few times. And Gervonta wasn't able to just willy-nilly outbox him like he has a lot of guys when he's needed to. So the lack of control makes this a very uneasy situation for Gervonta to go into. He looked so uncomfortable in the second half of that fight. I'm like, he's not going to want to fight this guy again. Not like this. So, but Gervonta's a very good fighter with a great amateur background as well. He's got to go back to the drawing board and he's got to come up with a game plan, because it didn't seem like he had a game plan the first fight. He's like, I'm going to fight this guy the way I fight everybody. And then when they were matching boxing IQ and matching wits, he was like, shit, this is a real fight. This guy's sharp. But so now he's got an opportunity to show what he's really made of. Champions are the guys who are the best at adjusting. Let's see if he can adjust in camp and bring a different approach, you know, come whenever this fight happens, which is June 21st or beyond.
That's uncharted territory for Gervonta Davis.
He's never had to do this.
Undefeated fighter, bullies his opponents. Bullies them in the pre-fight, bullies them in the ring. Did not bully Lamont Roach in the pre-fight, did not bully him in the ring.
He tried.
Tried very hard. Lamont knows him too well.
They know each other too well, exactly.
Know him too well. It's like, yeah, your mind games are not going to work on me. And I told you this before, like when I was in his locker room, like minutes before the fight to do the interview for the broadcast, like I felt so much confidence in the room. Like, they really
believed it. For Roach, you're talking about Roach.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he believed it, and he sets the tone because it's him. And for the whole team, he had like 40 people in there. And it was just like good vibes in there. Like, so it's going to be very interesting, because Roach wins this, then wow, his career is skyrocketing. If Tank loses, like, I don't know, like, where does he go from there? Like, this is one of the it's got storylines galore. I hope it does happen June 21st.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to happen eventually no matter what. June would be great. But yeah, man, it's even as possible as I could see it happening. I mean, I haven't really thought about what happens if Gervonta loses. Like, what does he do?
It could happen, bro. Like, I assume he's going to be a 2-1 favorite.
Sounds pretty tight.
I would like to anyone out there that is really into gambling, I would love to see from one fight to the rematch, the biggest dip in odds.
I'm sure, but because there's going to be dips that enter the negative. So you can have a guy who's a big favorite the first fight, and then, you know, maybe it's a draw, maybe he loses the next fight, the other guy's a favorite. So that's the biggest swing. But if a guy who, you got to frame that a little differently. So if you say, what is the biggest dip in someone who remained the favorite?
Yes.
In a first to a second fight?
You're a gambling guy now. Yeah. So
no,
like
I guess
15,
so.
16 to 1. Down to 2-1, 3-1.
That's crazy.
That's what this fight has, and I wonder how it'll do. June 21st is 2 days after my birthday, so if we go to Vegas, it's gonna be a weekend.
Oh boy.
Well, speaking of Vegas,
Dan Bide birthday, Dan Bide in Vegas. Ouch.
Yeah, ouch. Bro, Barry's prime. Ouch. I booked my flight for May 2nd.
Let's go, Vegas. So we got to figure out what we're doing that Saturday.
Right. I haven't got my hotel yet. I'm looking at the Aria, trying to do it up a little big. I'm getting tired of the Park MGM, getting tired of the MGM Grand. So we usually stay on fight weeks. So I might do Aria. We got to figure everything out. This is
hang out there. We're not going to hang out where I'm staying. We're going to hang out because I'll be working that for Top Rank. It's either going to be the Park or the MGM. I don't know which one it is yet.
Which is great because logistically, it's right next to T-Mobile. And I the Park because there's no Top cigarette is smoke. Efficient.
Yes.
The Park is not bad. I'm not downplaying the Park. I just stayed there a bunch. Yeah, this is so the plan is Friday, all week long, Times Squared. Cover that fight. Early Saturday morning, hop on the plane, head out to Vegas, watch the Canelo fight. Christina Poncher saw the tweet and she hit me up and she's in for the party. Joe Tess hit us up. He's in for the party.
Nice.
And then watch Canelo, eat some great food, have some drinks. Sunday, you're going to have to go to work. I might just hit at the pool Sunday. Show up to fight night with a tan. Watch Inoue.
Poncher and I are actually going to host the weigh-in on Saturday in the afternoon. Then we'll do the fight party. And then Sunday I'll actually have to work the fight and you can work on that non-existent tan that you never get.
Yeah. I'll probably show up redder than this hat.
For people at home, he's Italian, but he's a very fair-skinned Italian. He does not he doesn't get that olive complexion.
I'm almost from Switzerland, my family. It's like way up north. There's a Canobio, Italy. That is spelt with two N's. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Canobio, Switzerland, which is spelt how my name is spelt, one N, two B's.
Yikes. Your family was double dipping, huh? You guys got double passports.
I might be Swiss.
You look that up.
Like Richard Schaefer, I'm a Swiss banker.
I've looked up my heritage, and I am also part Northern Italian. My mother's side is Northern Italian via Argentina, because everyone down there is European mutts anyway. And my dad is Southern Italian, Calabrese. So that's why I still get a little color. But
yeah, you live in Florida.
We got the eyes from the Northern Italians.
That's right. Take it. I'll take it all day. So that's the latest on Vegas. and latest with Gervonta Davis. Anyone who cares about my travels, that's the latest. And who knows?
People have been asking. They're interested in what we're doing on Saturday. So people do care.
I heard from a bunch of people. I posted on Twitter. I got a few DMs from our fans and whatnot saying, I'm doing the same thing. You know, I'm flying to New York, then I'm flying to Vegas. It's cool. It's a cool weekend, and it's nice to hear.
Nice.
All right, let's move on. Let's go to this past weekend. Edgar Berlanga knocks out Jonathan Gonzalez Ortiz. There are rumors that that was his cousin. Knocked him out in the first round. That's a lie. Gets the win, does what he was supposed to do, gets in the ring afterwards. Chris Mannix says that he's a free agent. Eddie Hearn comes over. It's a little awkward. Berlanga goes on to
contentious
call out everyone.
Interview. Contentious
weird.
Interview.
Like,
weird.
Eddie's like, maybe we'll have a beer. Maybe we won't. Maybe go after yourself. Well, maybe we'll make
Edgar
a fight.
Was like, he had like a, when they put those blinders on a horse, he was just straight staring at an angle, whatever Eddie was talking, just like, mm-mm. Then the beer thing, he actually looked over to him. But other than that, it was a pretty contentious interview.
From the free agent standpoint, yeah, don't like burn your bridge. Like Eddie can get some stuff for you. Like go to the highest bidder, go to ProBox, go to PBC, go to Top Rank. I don't know. But Berlanga knocks out.
It might be Eddie again. It might be Matchroom again, guys. This kind of stuff happens.
Don't say Eddie can get you some fights, man. Like that's been proven. Berlanga does what he's supposed to do. Knocks out this guy in one round. Co-main event, weird. You know, in Orlando, not the ideal for Berlanga, and more ammunition for the haters. But that was pretty nice right hand that he landed there on a guy that
hook. That was brutal. That first hook was nasty.
I mean, he's still good. All right, I don't want to hear anything that Edgar Berlanga is not good. The guy's got skills. He's like, is he cringy? Oh, okay, every fighter kind of is. No offense, Chris. You guys are cringe sometimes. And he's going to he's going to bring eyeballs. So I was interested. I made sure I tuned in for this fight. Like I wasn't watching the full card. I made sure I watched Berlanga because that's what he is.
I did watch a full card. And Berlanga's my boy, so I'm happy to see him get a win. But do you remember? I remember Jonathan Gonzalez from back in the day. Like he was around when I was coming up because he went away for 10 years and didn't fight. And
armed robbery.
Yeah, something. I don't want to.
Became news. No, it became. It was reported.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
I don't know. He was in jail. He was in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. But I remember him coming up when I was coming up because he was a 47-54 pounder, and you know, he was a stud. He was really, really good. But then he went away, and then obviously we saw him at the weigh-in. He's just not that size. But Berlanga does what he's supposed to do. You get a guy like that, the less time you spend in the ring with a guy like that, the better it is for you. Because the longer it goes, you're like, people start to look at you like, come on, dude. But he did what he's supposed to do, gets him out of the one round. And Berlanga's got, I mean, he's got a lot of upside, like you said, especially in the free agency where the world is right now. He mentioned a couple names. He mentioned Munguia, he mentioned Charlo, and he mentioned Caleb Plant. Which one of those is the most intriguing to you, and which one is the most likely? Because they're probably different.
Plant.
Yes.
Plant is the one that everyone wants.
Is that the most likely, though?
I think they're all pretty likely. Yeah, I think Plant's the most likeliest. Like out of like, think about Munguia. He's Simon top rank, and I guess I don't know.
He's busy with that rematch with Saras.
He's fighting Saras May 4th in Saudi.
Is that it's on May 4th? Oh wow, okay.
It's cool. It's the co-main event to the Canelo Skull.
Ah.
Because Munguia is now training with Reynoso.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Double duty for Reynoso. Talk about odds changing. I like to see the odds on Bruno Saras. Is he?
That'll be a big swing.
I got to check that.
But I think Munguia will probably still be the favorite, right?
It's got to be on DraftKings.
He was dominating prior.
Was getting caught, though.
Yes, he was.
I did a something for ESPN, Fight Life Season 2, and we did a whole episode on Munguia. And, man, that guy's had one heck of a career. The weirdest career ever. Starting as a champion while still a prospect, being a champion and being treated like a prospect, and being moved as a prospect, changing divisions and being treated as a prospect again, winning a world title, fighting Canelo, now being like the upset. Trying to find it. No, they don't have. They only have Canelo Skull. Canelo's a -3,000 favorite.
That's about right.
That's got to be the biggest one since Fielding, or the other guy, Yildirim.
Yildirim. That didn't.
Yeah. So no. Edgar Berlanga gets the win, and he immediately calls out Caleb Plant afterwards. Everyone's excited for this fight. In my mentions, I think it's the best fight you could possibly make right now for either guy. Plant is a name, fought Canelo Alvarez. Berlanga is a name, fought Canelo Alvarez. Put this in the U.S. Put this on PBC pay-per-view. Boom. Let it happen. Put it as a co-main, wherever you put this fight. That's the one I want to see the most right now for Berlanga and Plant, is that for them to fight it to the build-up will be phenomenal. Those press conferences will be awesome. And I also think it'll be a fun fight. Berlanga's got power, and Plant has shown that he's 2.0 when he beat McCombie, and he's battle tested. That's the fight I want to see the most, Chris.
Yeah, I think I said that right after that the Plant McCombie fight, because McCombie showed with his size, physicality, and strength that he was able to give Caleb some issues early on. He was pushing him around. The physicality looked very, very different. But Plant didn't look like a 68 pounder that night. You know, McCombie looked big. He looked strong. He was super physical. Berlanga's humongous for 168. Didn't make weight last weekend or a couple nights ago. Came in 2 pounds over, but I don't expect that to be an issue moving forward. But
did he officially miss weight, or was it the necklaces? Like, what was going on there? Does anyone really care?
I don't know if when he was on the scale that was the actual official, if that wasn't the mock weigh-in. Because
he definitely missed weight.
Guys take their underwear off. He's not going to take his chains off. That doesn't make sense. It had to be a mock.
One in the morning.
Yeah, so that's the real weigh-in, the official weigh-in where he was probably literally in underwear, completely naked actually, to weigh in and didn't make the weight. So no, he didn't make the weight. But I don't foresee that being a problem in the future. I like that fight a lot. You know, Caleb Plant's got the boxing ability from the outside. He's got a great jab, good footwork. You know, and apparently he could fight in the inside, which he needed to against McCombie. So yeah, I think it's a good fight. It's a fun fight. The build-up will be great too.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
A lot of trash talk back and forth.
Yeah, it would. I wonder how this would work. Is it like with Berlanga being a free agent, like in traditional boxing before Saudi Arabia got into the picture? Like, you would think Berlanga would sign with PBC because there are some other names at 168, Plant's there. But now with Saudi, it's like, does Turkey want this fight? Will Turkey try to put it on Could he put it on Canelo Crawford undercard? You know, could it be the co-main event on for this TKO? Supposedly, they are going to be the promoter for that. Is it its own pay-per-view? Do you think Berlanga Plant could be its own pay-per-view in today's boxing climate?
It could be. I think it could be.
The right expectations.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Berlanga's profile has grown so much since the Canelo fight, and you know, Plant just is so well respected. Although, you know, he hasn't been that busy, which kind of hurts his marketability as a main eventer on a big card. But yeah, I think the buildup would be really really good and get a lot of eyes. So the pay per view numbers could be like big.
Yeah, no, yeah, big is, like we said, with the pay-per-view, we don't know. Like,
man,
I don't know. So,
In today's standards of big.
Right. Most fans don't care. They just want to see how this fight – they just want to see this fight made. So could it be a co-main event on a huge card? Could it be its own one? That's the one I want to see the most. Munguia is tied up with Top Rank, tied up with Saras. Mabili is supposedly fighting Kachuka.
Munguia Berlanga is fun. I've always thought that was a fun fight. Just only thinking about the styles. That's a fun fight.
Right. If you just go by like traditional boxing meritocracy.
Just picture them in the ring. Yeah, just picture them in the ring. It's like, yeah, good fight.
Well, that's another thing too. Like one of our friends, Chris Santos, celebrity chef from Chopped, big boxing fan, and owner of many restaurants who gives us great experiences, said he hit me up on Twitter and was like, oh, Berlanga doesn't deserve this fight. And I've got a few of those types of comments, like Berlanga doesn't deserve a Plant fight. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right in a way, but meritocracy doesn't exist in boxing. Deserved is not a word used often in boxing. It's a business. And the biggest fight commercially at 168, besides Canelo and whomever, is Berlanga Plant right now. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, why? I mean, in terms of deserving, why? Well, why? I don't understand. Why was he not? Why would he not be deserving?
Didn't fight anybody.
So what? I mean, has that ever been a thing in boxing? I mean,
that's what I mean.
Plant has gone 2-2 in his last four. It's not like we're, you know, it's not like he's this, you know, and not that he's, I'm not saying he's not a good fighter. He's a great fighter. But like, why is Plant on this pedestal that, you know, a guy like Berlanga can't fight him? I think that's a perfect fight for both guys. I think in terms of taking a risky fight that would make people like that go, all right, Berlanga's he's one of those guys. He belongs there. And also Caleb Plant to be like, all right, get this kid, I'm going to show him that he doesn't belong here. And it's another good record on my resume. So I don't know. I don't even know where that statement comes from. It's funny that you've got several people saying that.
Oh, it's just people that don't like Berlanga. They just don't like him, his brashness. They don't like he should not have got the Canelo fight. They don't like the tour that he went on, the supposedly victory tour that he went on after losing to Canelo. He's just like eating it up now, Berlanga. It's smart. Like play the heel, play that role. He'll be the heel against Plant because, like you said, everyone has a lot. I mean, he's one of the most respected fighters in the game today for how he handles himself, in these losses to Canelo and Benavidez, he slapped Charlo. He slapped Ryan Garcia for talking about his wife. Like this guy stands on business. I like Caleb Plant a lot. I saw him in February. Was talking with him in Vegas, and you know he's raring to go. Like he was like, oh, I want to get on the Canelo undercard. This is when we thought Canelo was going to fight with PBC in May, so he's ready, and he's been tweeting at Berlanga nonstop. He's building it up. He's not going to get Charlo. He's Charlo's out of the picture. And did you see this? Mabili and Pacheco are negotiating.
Ooh, I did not see that. I like that. I'm very high on Pacheco. You know, we talked about him on here a bunch of times. And Mabili, you know, he's one of those guys. He's like right there on the cusp of getting that Canelo fight. I thought he was going to get it, but then this whole IBF skull situation came up. And then obviously Crawford kind of pushed him out. So I tip my hat to Mabili taking on a really tough guy who is probably way better than people understand. So that's a tough fight. That's a really tough fight for both of them, actually. It's a bit of a crossroads fight. You got Pacheco, who has all this potential coming up, and you got Mobili, who, you know, has been around, is highly rated by absolutely everybody, but just couldn't get the big fight. And he's not sitting on his position. He's taking a tough fight with a young guy. I dig that. Both those guys deserve a round of applause.
Yeah, that's an action
and a round
fight.
Of Guinness.
Round of Guinness. Split the G. That's an action fight. And it, but to the larger point, Chris, it takes them out of fighting Berlanga or out of options for it. So to me, it's either Munguia or Plant. And to me, it's really Plant. So I'm curious to see how this plays out, because Berlanga is saying my next fight is big fight next. Connolly, his manager.
Connolly
on
has
Instagram.
Worked with Al Haymon quite a bit and worked with the PBC guys. So that's certainly
yeah.
makeable.
It's definitely like that could be it could be the co-main event to Tank Roach.
Oof.
I mean, it could also be its own event.
No, it's not too soon because Berlanga just starched this guy in one round. So yeah, absolutely.
Dude, that was a freaking spar. Not even a sparring session. That was he barely broke session. A sweat. Yeah. And Plant hasn't fought since the McCombie fight, September. Come on, man. That's at 168. So Canelo's fighting Skull May 3rd. Charlo hasn't fought in a while. Munguia is fighting Saras. Mobili Pacheco. Plant Berlanga. Perfect. That's 168 for you. That's the state of 168. Oh, did you see this? Shout out to our friend Justin Shackle. Got called mm-hmm. up to the majors. Todd yep. Grisham gets food poisoning. There's a rumor out there that Bill Haney poisoned him.
That rumor was planted by you just now. That's.
I did message Todd, and oh, I said, funny. I can't believe Bill Haney did that to you, bro. Grisham gets sick in Orlando. I've been to that very resort 10 times over the last 2 years. That's where MVP does all their shows. He got food poisoning, and it makes me a little skeptical when I go back there and eat at some of their great restaurants. But
I've actually had that happen to me on a show. That happened to me in Belfast, Ireland. I had food poisoning the entire day before, like for 24 hours. I spent 20 hours in bed the night before the show. And I was like, I just got to get to the show. I just got to get to the show. I didn't know it was food poisoning. I thought I was like coming down with the flu or something. And then I sit down in the chair and, you know, my partners, Jimmy Smith and Paulie, both knew that I was sick. And they're like, how are you feeling? And I was just like, you know what? I'm actually okay. And I look at my watch. I'm like, exactly 24 hours. I'm like, oh, dude, that was food poisoning. Like, I'm good. Oof. I'm good now. But it was food poisoning 24 hours. So I was like, oh, I'm actually pretty good and did the show no problem.
Poor Grisham. Say you never missed a show before.
Yeah, that's crazy. But
and
listen,
he's done a lot of shows.
Shackle. It was nice to hear Shackle's voice on there. I was like, whoa. He did great. Fantastic. He's such a pro.
Oh, he's awesome. I called so many fights with him, and he did a lot of Yankee games, and he's awesome. He's a loyal listener of the pod. So, Justin, I know you're listening right now. Great job, my friend.
Good job,
Maybe
buddy.
It was
Good
you
job.
That poisoned Grisham.
Oh, so that's a smart move.
He
now
was there.
We're talking.
He probably sprinkled something in his food.
Ooh.
It was Haney.
That's diabolical. Maybe they teamed up.
That's what I mean.
Shackle's like, I can get close to him.
The weirdest combination ever, Bill Haney and Justin Shackle. The weirdest.
Yeah, that's
strangest
that's a,
bedfellows.
That's a, I wouldn't call that a dynamic duo. I would call that the odd couple.
Shackle's cooler. Who else happened on that card? Ammo Williams gets the win over Patrice Volney. Really close decision. Yeah. Not the best fight in the world. Wasn't like super impressed with Williams. I like him as a person. It's hard to dislike. Kid's been through a lot. But he wants the WBA title shot versus Arislandi Lara, who has held that belt hostage for a while now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What did you think of Williams? I thought it was decent performance. And middleweight is even worse now with Shiraz leaving it.
Yeah, it was a good performance against a very sneaky good opponent. You know, Volney was tough, highly respected. He's got a good record in terms of what he's been able to do, and his style is difficult. You know, high guard guy comes forward, kind of starts slow and builds as he goes. But essentially, he got outworked. Austin, you know, who's normally a puncher, couldn't really get through the guard of Volney, but he was able to outwork him down the stretch, use the volume to bank a lot of those rounds, and his gas tank was really good. So it looked like he was turning the other way towards Volney as the rounds went on, but then Austin kind of drew a line in the sand and let those hands go and won a close, what should have been a close decision, even though one of the scorecards was like super wide. But
it was decent little scrap. Good win for Williams, but not very thrilling in terms of, you know, getting a lot of eyes on it.
Yeah, a win is a win.
workmanlike performance.
Yeah, the middleweight, I don't know what's going to happen there. Shiraz leaves the division. Lara could be 45, 50 years old. He's had the belt.
He's a Cuban 42, so he could be 52.
Right. He could be, I mean, last time he saw Lara, he beat Danny Garcia, which was one of the worst fights I've ever seen.
Such a weird fight.
Keeps the middleweight title. Janibek has the other one. The other two, right? Was there someone else I'm missing? I haven't even
Janibek
thought about
has two. Carlos Adames.
Adames. I like Adames.
Yeah.
But he might move up to 168.
Adames as well?
Yeah, Adames has the other belt. He has the other belt.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. Adames could move
to 168. Because he retained that belt with the draw with Shiraz.
Right. That's what I'm, yeah. Janibek has WBO, IBF. Lara has WBA. Adames has WBC. Adames, I mean, with Shiraz moving up, he's not going to get the rematch. Not going to fight a rematch with him. Adames could fight Lara. If PBC hasn't made that fight already, then I don't know what they're waiting for. Janibek is on his own little island, so he's not fighting anybody anytime soon. Like, Janibek versus Williams, I don't know. Like, middleweight gives me a headache, and I don't really care. It's just kind of messed up. But why should we? Because it's just a weird division.
Yeah, I mean, it's a division that shouldn't be so hard to get it undisputed, because, again, it's kind of like obscure guys that aren't like major players. Not they're not major players, but they're not like, they don't have huge profiles. So get that unification going, get those fights made, and, you know, potentially make a star there. Is it Janibek? Is it Adames? You know, like, you know, Lara, I don't think he's getting any higher than he's already been at this age. But yeah, get those guys in the ring together. Make these fights happen.
Is someone breaking into your home, Chris?
No, my dogs are going crazy. I got a lot of work going on in the backyard today. So.
I was
going
to say, I've never heard your dog, so that something's happening.
Yeah, no, they're going crazy.
You might have to fight someone.
They came back from lunch. I don't need to fight anybody. My dogs will tear your arms off. So both of them are savages. I got two very muscular pits who like to protect the house. And they do a good job.
Did you train them to do that?
Nah, it's natural. They're just they're pits, man. They're sweet when they're with us, but if you come in our house, man. Oof, careful. Careful.
It's over, Hova. Amari Jones. He looked good.
He did look good.
Bronze medalist, sells tickets down in Orlando. Nice to see an Olympian on the stage. He's going to be fighting. He gets the win. He's going to be fighting again on April 12th on the Stanionis card versus Boots.
How about that pro debut, fighting a guy who was like 15-4? That's pretty impressive. And you got him out of there in what, two rounds? You know, the beginning of the second round.
I liked him.
I think Xander had gotten rid of that guy at the end of the first round when they fought, but, you know, Xander was like 11-0 at the time. So impressive pro debut for someone like that. Looked good. So, you know, physically, for his body type, his style. I'm curious to see. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, him fight often, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, fast track him. They already got him fighting April 12th, and it's another good signing for Matchroom. So that was the card, Saturday night Matchroom, decent. Earlier on Saturday, Nick Ball defeats TJ Doheny. Very strange moment in this fight. Nick Ball kicks him. Did you see that?
Full-blown knee to the thigh. That was a knee to the hamstring, and down goes Doheny immediately.
As he's got Doheny, I mean, he did the same thing kind of in the Inoue fight where he kind of had this like phantom back injury and like.
Yeah.
So we have like, he's like, he has him in a headlock, like a guillotine at the end of the round. And Ball then kicks him. The referee saw it. No points taken away.
Just sends him to the corner. Just
like,
all good.
Ball said afterwards. Ball said afterwards, I thought I was going to get disqualified.
I mean, honestly, to be fair, he should have. But at least he got to lose a point or two. I'd probably say 2 points for that.
At minimum.
But yeah.
Lose a point. Mm-hmm. Maximum disqualified. Neither of which happened, which leads to a wider discussion. We talk about judges all the time, right? And how they're incompetent and they affect too much of the sport. Referees have come into focus. And with Gervonta Davis taking a knee, A-side, not getting penalized for that. Nick Ball, A side, kicks a man right in broad daylight. Nothing. So A side treatment on purpose. A side treatment in boxing is a thing, and referees have you could obviously judges have the ultimate say at the end of the fight. Referees are right up there, man, in terms of their influence on fights, and it's not a great trend I'm seeing in boxing.
It's you know, because a lot of their rules are based on the referee's discretion, so they have the ability to make a really important split second decisions one way or the other. In hindsight, obviously we tear them apart, but I mean it's not an easy job. I'm not saying that. But it just seems like these guys are a little too liberal with the rules in terms of what they're allowed to let go and what they're calling. But the real issue is that it only goes one way. It only goes to the A side. Every kind of on the fence decision always goes to the A side. So it makes it really imbalanced, and it makes people kind of go like, right. What's going on here?
It's boxing. It's politics. It's the same old
politics.
A-side treatment. And yeah, refereeing is not an easy job. And from what I've known about refs is this isn't their only gig. Like, you're not a professional referee and that's your whole life. Like, they have careers, like it's something to do on weekends. And, you know, it doesn't, like, the pay is probably decent, but it's not like a, it's a weird thing to think about, like what a boxing referee is, because it's not, they're everything. I don't know what I'm trying to get at here.
that I don't know what you're trying to get at either, because I don't know. I really do, but
it's not like, it's a weird job. Like you said, it's not an easy gig. It's not. No. And it's not their only gig. I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting at there. Steve,
you think, okay, so maybe are you trying to say like they should get paid more and it should be more of a full-time thing where they have to okay, well, we trying to say that.
It's up to you as the listener to figure out what is Dan getting.
This is a choose your own adventure when you listen to us.
Yeah. What is he getting here? I think it was just an added anecdote. Like, judges.
Oh, by the way,
Steve Weisfeld is a lawyer, and Monday through Friday he's in an office in Manhattan. You know, these referees, I'm pretty sure
a lot of them I've spoken to are former retired civil service workers who have pensions. And like, this is their gig, even though it's not their only source of income, which I think makes a lot of sense, but, cause you know, the rule of law,
I know what I'm getting at, bro. What I'm getting at is not everyone out there is when I grow up, I want to be a boxing referee.
I don't think anyone out there is doing that.
That's what I mean. Same thing with a judge. Yeah. They're like these like weird side quests that these guys have. It's not like the best of the best.
A lot of refs are former fighters too.
That too.
Usually high level amateurs. Like Harvey Dock was a good amateur in the New York area.
No excuse. No excuse if it's not your full time gig and it's not what you dreamed of being, but for some of these decisions that we're seeing, well, not decisions, but yeah, they are decisions, snapshot decisions, like
snap decisions, right?
And so forth. What else do we want to talk about there? All right, yeah. So Nick Ball gets the win. Fun fighter. He is a champion.
I thought he looked good.
Yeah,
I thought he looked good. Doheny is a tough guy, a tough nut to crack. He's big for the weight class. He's a good counterpuncher. He's got power. I thought Nick Ball showed much better defense. He's normally kind of in the front door kind of guy. And I think if he fought Doheny like that, he would have had a lot of trouble. He could have got hurt. I thought he was really deceptive on the way that he was able to close the distance, get inside, and do what he does. And he's just vicious. He's like a pit bull, man. Once he gets inside, like, you're just trying to get him off you. And he's just super fun to watch.
He's like your dogs. They're vicious.
Literally, yeah. Just vicious.
He's a pit bull.
He's a pit ball. Well, I call him Wrecking Ball.
He should be called Nick the Pit Ball.
Pit Ball. I don't think anybody would get that one, but I think the Wrecking Ball is a good one.
Wrecking Ball is also a good one. WBA featherweight champion. And Turkey signs in a way to a sponsorship deal, whatever. He is fighting in Saudi December. That is the plan for Inoue. And Nick Ball is a name that Turkey brought up. Nick Ball is signed to Queensberry. They work very closely with Saudi. So that has been the boxing rumor for a while now. So all week long, Nick Ball has asked about Inoue. We're now looking at Nick Ball's potential Inoue opponent as his first at 126 for Inoue at featherweight. So, yeah, he looked good. But even I fell for this, and a lot of people were looking at it with like these a different shade of glasses on. It's like, can he beat Inoue? And I don't think he can. I think that Nick Ball is food for Inoue at 126.
Ultimately, yes. But does that mean I don't want to see it? No. I think it's a fun fight. I think Nick Ball makes for exciting fights, and I think Inoue is he has enough Japanese spirit that he's going to stand and fight with a guy like that. And anytime you're with a guy like Ball, who's also he's bigger, you know, even though he's a small guy, he's 5'2", I think. It's 126, so that would be a fight moving. It would be Inoue moving up from 22 to 26, and he looked human at 22, and we saw that with Neary. So yeah, that fight at 126, I don't hate it. Don't hate it.
And they had a back and forth on Twitter, which was like the cutest little back and forth. Inoue tweets, that ball is funny, but don't kick it.
Oh, I saw this actually. Yeah. It's clever. Clever.
Like, this guy got a sense of humor. I got to talk to him in Vegas. And then Ball responds, let's make it happen and find out then. And then Inoue responds, until that day comes, let's increase each other's value. Like, hey, like, what? That's the weirdest smack talk ever.
Was it like that? Was like AI smack talk.
Yeah. Hey, man, increase your value, and so when we fight, we maximize our profits. That's basically what he said. But they are building up to this fight, and it's true though. That's what boxing is all about. Increase your value, and when you're of Inoue's stature, you know you're going to make a lot of money when you're his opponent, and Inoue wants to make a lot of money. Even if it's in Saudi and the traditional revenue streams are not traditional at all. But yeah, I would love to see Inoue versus Nick Ball. Do I think Inoue is going to win? Yes. But will it be a fun fight? Absolutely. Because every fight Nick Ball is in is really fun. I like
both
it.
Both of them can't miss. Inoue fights are fun too. So it's a can't
yeah,
miss.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's Inoue's introduction to 126, then that's a hell of an introduction because there are some big names waiting for him there. You know, Rafael Espinosa, whether he stays at 126 or not, he's fighting on the Inoue undercard or co-main event on May whatever, 4th, what you'll be calling a fight out in Vegas. There are some other intriguing names at 126.
Stephen Fulton. Angel Leo is a champ. Angel Leo is a world champion. You know,
I love
a lot
this
of interesting
division.
Fights. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's been good. And even when guys get knocked off, like Venato Lopez is out of the picture now. Like, he was so good, but we got Stephen Fulton and Angel Leo stepped in his place. So we got two new guys who can both really fight. A lot of intriguing matchups too. And these guys are all willing to fight each other. It's great. And also, you had mentioned Inoue, like people, you know, everyone, every generation, we have certain guys that everyone's lining up to fight. You had Floyd and you had Pacquiao, right? Everybody wanted those fights, of course. De La Hoya, everybody wanted to fight De La Hoya because they're the money guys. Canelo Alvarez, everybody wants to fight him. Inoue is that guy now. You know, Canelo, Inoue, at that weight, exactly. But, you know, we have a few of those in the sport that it's like,
right.
They're kind of like the unicorns that everybody wants to get at during
the cash
their career.
Cows.
Inoue is that guy right now.
He's the cash
those
cow.
Lighter
he's
weights. Yeah.
He's the cash cow, and everyone will. You'll be asked about if you're rumored with him. You'll be asked about him, like Rafael Espinosa on Fight Week is going to be asked about Inoue nonstop. And if you're Rafael Espinosa, you are thrilled. this is like a lottery ticket, man. Like
in the same conversation,
right? Fulton at 126 rematch. I don't know. That's way down the road. Yeah. Nick Ball is being asked about Inoue. Angelo Leo is fighting in Japan in May, and he's going to be asked about Inoue. Yeah, you're right, Chris. This is like the Canelo of the lower weights. And when he's around that 122, 126 orbit, everyone in that is angling for him because that represents the biggest payday.
From Bam to Tank, people have put them together with Inoue. That's just how it goes when you have a guy
just like Canelo.
He's got his own orbit. Exactly. Just like Canelo. They have the guys that are that big have their own orbit.
So for Inoue, he could potentially, he's fighting Cardenas in May. He is then fighting MJ Akpadaliev in September. And then he could potentially fight Nick Ball in December. This guy is awesome.
Love this. I love Akpadaliev.
I don't want to hear any shade.
No. Is there any shade? Has anyone had shade on him?
On Inoue?
I mean, because he got dropped by Neary, but you know, it happens.
No.
But
the shade is coming. His last two opponents haven't been like what everyone wants to see.
Okay. But all right, well,
it's minimal shade.
Yeah, that's if you got to find something.
It's minimal shade, but like the point is, yeah, you might not have liked his last two opponents, but look at his next two. Like he already has a September fight scheduled with MJ Akhmadaliyev, who everyone is a former champion, who everyone's been calling for. And then in December, he could potentially go to 126.
Yeah, he has the most systematic schedule, too. Like, if he says he's going to do something, he does it. So
it's another Canelo. Another similarity to Canelo is that, in a way, had, like, when you're that big, you your whole year is planned out.
But different than Canelo is that you know who he's fighting. Canelo, we don't know who he's fighting until, you know, other than this next fight with Crawford. Like, we didn't,
yeah,
even
new.
The Skull fight, we didn't know that much in advance. And then Crawford.
But you know that Canelo's fighting every May and every September.
Yes, 100%. But Floyd Mayweather was another one. It's like you didn't know who Floyd was going to be fighting when he fought every May and September. You didn't Canelo. You don't know who, like with in a way, it's like, all right, we know who you're fighting, dude. Like, that's awesome. But also, yeah, people, we don't like his last two. We don't like his last two. But then, what's his name got cut? He was supposed to fight. I'm drawing a blank right now.
I know who you're saying.
The Australian.
But he got cut. Yeah.
Right. So
Goodman.
So even the minor shade that they're putting on him is not warranted.
Unwarranted minor shade. Just enjoy the guy. Can fans just enjoy fighters?
No, this is boxing. You can't be happy.
Come on, guys. Let's be happy. Let's end the show there. Shout out to everyone that tuned in. Chris, you're flying out to Los Angeles area for Pro Box?
Yeah, on Thursday. And then I'm getting inducted into the New York Boxing Hall of Fame on Sunday. Flying home for that. Hall of Fame.
I'll be there.
It's going to be fun.
Did you get my ticket?
Or
should I do that? How much do I owe you?
No, I got to put you. I got to put you at the table. I got to put you at the table, bro.
What do I got to wear a suit?
You wear whatever you want. We're all wearing suits.
I got plenty of suits, man.
Dude, it was funny when they wanted me to give like the names. It's just like Mike Algieri, Chris Algieri, Dominic Algieri, Jimmy Algieri Jr.
Jimmy Algieri sounds like a good fellas.
Oh,
like,
Jimmy Algieri is going to be, you're going to rate right next to Jimmy. You're going to be between him and his son. They are
you know Jimmy Algieri?
Characters.
Jimmy Algieri? He was
you know Jimmy?
One. He was one of us.
Former cop, New York City cop.
Of course. He's probably seen some shit.
He's seen some shit. He's got some stories. He's a huge boxing fan. Goes to all the New York fights. So you guys are going to have fun.
Who else is getting in?
Saddam Ali is getting in. Nice. I believe Andre Rozier is getting in. Sonia Laminakis is getting in. Yeah, it's a who's who of a local, you know, group that's like kind of like our family. That's our New York, because we're all around the same. It's cool. The class is a lot of people who are like the same era. Mitch Green, who's in the era multiple eras before us, is getting in. Mitch Blood Green is getting into the New York Boxing Hall of Fame. I really hope he's
Tyson
there.
Mess him
punch
up
him
in the
street. Yeah, yeah. And he fought him. He was, I think, he was the first guy to go the distance with Tyson actually in a real fight. But
wasn't
they
on like crack though?
He like for maybe for a time.
No, what did I know? That's kind of fucked up. I thought the story was he fought Tyson and Tyson hit him so hard in the street. Tyson thought he killed him.
Yeah, Tyson punched him, and they got into it. And then I forgot what
punched his lights out.
This is a lot of crazy
stories. Dapper Dan's.
Somebody jumped on somebody's car hood. There was a nasty fight. Like, yeah, good stuff.
I wish I was
good.
Around,
good
man.
Memories. Yeah, for real.
Wish I was around then.
80s boxing. Woof.
Now we got
80s boxing in New York, dude. Wow.
I'm in my dad's office right now, CompuBox office. Talking about 80s boxing. I'm looking up at a picture of him in Rocky. I'm looking at, he has the original Hagler Leonard fight poster. He was there. It's got a crack in it. Shout out Bob Canobio. He's been at every big fight since 1985 on. Hagler Hearns, he was there. He was at Tyson. I'm looking over at Tyson Douglas to my left. He was ringside for Tyson Douglas.
I got, before we started filming, I got to see him say hello.
And he's still grinding to this day, sending out research, counting punches.
I just got his research for the fight this weekend. So,
the man. Stats. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Enjoy it. Check yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.